So this year, we are going to have two election campaigns in Canada, and this is not prophecy, I do not think. One is going to be held here in Alberta this spring, and then it seems like we will have a federal election campaign in October. I think we're fortunate that we live in a country where every 4 years we have the opportunity to hear those who want to represent us in public life make the case as to why we should vote for them. Well, this campaign, as I say, happens every 4 years. But for us as Roman Catholics, we have a campaign that happens every year, right now at the beginning of this Lenten season. Now, with this campaign, there is no political posturing. There's no tweets vying for our attention. No need to go to the ballot box in 5 weeks' time in order to cast your vote. This is a spiritual campaign that every Ash Wednesday then leads to its culmination in the Easter Triduum, where we have one liturgy that starts on Holy Thursday, goes through to Good Friday, and then comes to its culmination at the Easter Vigil on the Saturday evening. Now, when thinking about a political campaign, much money and time is spent trying to allocate the resources so that they will be well spent during those 4 or 5 weeks. The campaign manager is one of the most important people on that team, coordinating strategy and scheduling so that their party leader will, at the end of the campaign, become the next premier or prime minister. Well, likewise, when it comes to our Lenten campaign, we want to be thoughtful. We want to be purposeful as we are heading towards Easter. And believe it, Easter is the greatest campaign victory of all time. And so during this Lenten season, we are invited to grow into a deeper relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And I love the way our liturgy began this evening with what's called the Collect. This is our campaign prayer. For in it we said, "Grant, O Lord, that we may begin with holy fasting this campaign of Christian service, so that as we take up battle against the spiritual evils, we may be armed with weapons of self-restraint." If you have the Missalet, I would invite you over these next 4 or 5 days to pray this prayer every day, to remember that this is indeed the campaign of our Christian service. Now, the thing about a campaign is you want to know who's running with you. You want to know who's on your team, and you want to know who the opposition is as well. And when we think about this special prayer, it seems to be pointing actually away from a political campaign to more of what we would call a military campaign, because our opposition are, as the prayer says, spiritual evils. So let's think about it for a minute. Here we are all together on this evening because the church has called together a solemn assembly. This is one of those days, along with Good Friday, that is our corporate fast. And we take this time to be aware of who we are in relation to one another. And so I want to think with you about why are the ashes so important? Because when we understand the ashes, they help us to understand more fully who it is who's sitting next to me. Who is it that is on the team campaigning for our Lord Jesus Christ? Ashes go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. And there, after Adam and Eve have eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the Lord says to Adam, "By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, you are dust, and to dust you shall return." So the first thing that the ashes speak to is our mortality. We have a short time in this world, maybe 70 years, perhaps 80, Oh yeah, might today make it even into your 90s. Annie told me today that Alex Trebek, the longtime host of Jeopardy since 1984 and then before that in its first incarnation, has just been diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. However present is our mortality, the mortality of those who we've seen on television for decades. How present is our mortality, as some of you here tonight can attest, because in the last year, you have loved people that are very important to you. And maybe some of you here this evening are dealing with your own illness, your own cancer, your own diagnosis. And so the ashes remind us, first of all, that each and every one of us is mortal. But there's a second thing the ashes speak of. And to find the answer to the second question, what do they refer to? We turn to the book of Job. Job, the book in the Bible that deals more with the reality of suffering than any other book in Scripture. Job, who after God has spoken for 3 chapters, given the longest speech in the whole of the Bible, Job then says, "I repent in dust and ashes." You see, for the Jewish people, ashes were a sign both of repentance, but also, think about that little bit of a splotch you're going to get on your forehead in a couple of minutes. It's supposed to look like a cross. Sometimes it does, but often it looks like a splotch. That so too, what does sin do to our souls? It makes it splotchy. It makes it grimy. It dirties it. And so the second idea of the ashes pointing to our need to repent of sin is central to the Jewish understanding. And then thirdly and lastly, I'm going to turn to the book of Esther. Esther was one of the most beautiful women of her generation. Esther, who was married to the king of Persia, a man by the name of Ahasuerus, I think it's that way of pronouncing it, who had a very maniacal court counsel named Haman. And Haman said to the king, "Kill all the Jews. Let's make sure there's a genocide." And the king says, "Sure, let's do it." But then there's Esther, who's not only the wife of the king, she's also Jewish. And in the 14th chapter of this book, where she knows that the plight of her people is very precarious, we read this in Holy Scripture. "Esther the queen, seized with deathly anxiety, fled to the Lord. She took off her splendid apparel." Just picture it. She couldn't be more beautiful. She takes off all of this splendid clothing, this apparel, and we're told that she put on the garments of distress and mourning. And instead of costly perfumes, she covered her head with ashes and dung. Now, I am thankful that the church, in her wisdom, got rid of the dung. I don't know how many people would be here if this was Dung Wednesday. But it is Ash Wednesday. And what we see with Esther is that this symbolism of taking off her beautiful clothing, putting on the clothing of distress and mourning, points to the fact that she is completely dependent upon God. That she needs to be able to turn to the Lord in her prayer and say, "God, in humility, save and deliver our people." And as we read through to the conclusion of the book of Esther, that salvation does happen. Now, very quickly, I want to tie in each of these 3 Old Testament understandings of the meaning of the ashes with our gospel reading this evening. Think of the discipline of prayer of which our Lord speaks. One of the reasons I need to pray, one of the reasons you need to pray, we need to pray, is that we need to be able to place our mortality in the light of God's loving immortality. And the most important way we can do that in this world is through cultivating a mindset of prayer, where more and more our minds are being informed by Holy Scripture. More and more our minds are being shaped in such a way that as you blessed people have done tonight, you have gathered together for corporate prayer. This is one of the most important types of prayer. I don't know about you, it's really hard to pray alone. But I find it's easier to pray alone if I've also spent time praying with my family. That's you. And so the church understands that we are called to be a people of liturgical prayer, of corporate prayer, that this helps to define who we are. And so that's why in our Old Testament lesson this evening that we heard the prophet say, call a solemn assembly, bring all the people together, the old, the young, the babies who are nursing, gather as a community, because it's through prayer that we discover that because of Jesus, that your body, my body, these mortal bodies will one day put on immortality. And prayer is what most helps us to see and to understand our destination. Well, what about the discipline of almsgiving? That is our desire to give to others, especially to the most needy. Well, when we think about this, I think it ties in with our need for repentance. Because what happens with sin? When we are sinning, we are primarily thinking about ourselves. When we are giving alms, we are primarily learning to think about others. And so those who are cultivating that kind of generosity also have a way for the Holy Spirit to work in their souls so that they're also being detached from the propensity to sin. And then what about the fast, the discipline of fasting? Well, I think this is associated with Esther. What are we doing when we're fasting? We are giving up something that's really good. It might be a certain food. It might be a certain show. It might be watching sports. It might be any number of really, really good things. And for this short period of 40 days, we're saying, I choose to go without because I want to grow in acknowledging my need to be dependent upon the Lord. Think of Esther. She fasted from her clothing, her beautiful clothing, and put on simple clothing. She fasted so that she could be more and more in touch with God and say, I need your help. So in conclusion, let me tell you that Mother Church is our campaign manager. She has been running this campaign for 2,000 years. And every year, she calls people to herself so that we, as we continue on our earthly journey, may take up afresh each year the weapons of self-restraint through prayer, almsgiving, and fasting. Because we do have an opponent, and our opponent is spiritual. Our opponent is maniacal. Our opponent wants you to either just disbelieve, distrust, and say, I don't need God, all I need is me, and I'll just make it through the world. That's what our opponent would want you to believe. But as we deepen our love and our trust for Jesus Christ, may we enter into this Lenten campaign so that through these 5 weeks, we will come to the wonderful celebration of the Easter victory, knowing ever more deeply in our heart, in our mind, in our soul, in our body, that Jesus Christ is Lord and has risen from the dead. I pray that you have a very good campaign.